Good morning, Hope Church. My name's Alex. I'm one of the leaders here at Hope, and it's my privilege this morning to carry on our short series looking at the dying words of Jesus on the cross. And I'll be spending my half talking about the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So let's look at the passage together from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 45 to 46. It says this. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now on the 2nd of June 2018, I got a phone call at 3 a.m. telling me to rush back home because my wife Katrina was in labour. Now there were two problems. One was that I was in Birmingham with some friends, and the second was that this was 7 weeks before my son was supposed to be born. So we rushed back to London, and after a challenging, difficult birth, James was born on the 3rd of June 2018. However, after a week or two, we were hoping we could bring him home, that it wouldn't take so long. But unfortunately, the doctors found that he had fluid around his brain and he needed that to be operated on. Now, it may not be quite as serious as it sounds, but it was still a pretty scary time, a pretty difficult time. And after 5 weeks of being in hospital and having surgery and recovering, finally James could come home with us. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you this story? Well, because I wanted to just start by saying that these words that Jesus spoke on the cross are not unique to Jesus, but they're something that I myself, I'm sure, would have thought and said around this challenging time in my life. Where are you, God? How can you feel so distant? How can you feel so far away? Why have you forsaken me? And I'm sure we've all felt that, haven't we, in our life at some time or another. This cry that Jesus cries on the cross is the echo of the cry that we've all spoken, that humanity has spoken since the fall, since the start, since everything went wrong. We see it in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah crying out when they can't have a son. David constantly crying out when he's being hunted down by his enemies. Job, is the entire book is the cry of Job as he goes through his suffering. But if you ever needed proof that Jesus was both fully God and fully man, well, here it is. He's echoing this cry that we all have. He was flesh and blood, and he experienced the same emotional turmoil, the same pain and frustration and grief that we all feel. Perhaps some of you right now are in that situation where you feel you are crying out to God. You are crying out, God, where are you? Maybe you've just been in that situation, or I'm sure at some point you'll be in that situation again. We all know how this feels, don't we? But then the question I guess we all then ask after this is, well, should I feel this way? Should I be crying out and questioning God? Should I be asking God where he is? Is that right? Is it wrong for us to question God? Well, I think this passage tells us that no, it's not wrong. Just as Jesus showed us that there is a righteous way, a right way to show anger when he turned the tables over in the temple, I think here he's showing us that there is a right way that we can express our grievances to God. And of course, there are unhealthy ways, but I think really what Jesus is doing here is expressing to God this cry of anguish while still, do you notice, pointing back to God himself. He doesn't renounce God, but he in fact starts by saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Actually, the echo that we hear here, the echo of this cry, is not just felt through various characters in the Bible, but actually it's a direct quote from a psalm, from Psalm 22. You know, so when Jesus was saying these words, actually it's a bit like when someone quotes the lyrics of a song and it invokes the rest of the lyrics. You know, if I said, first I was afraid, then all of you in your head are saying, I was petrified, and you start singing the rest of the song in your head, don't you? Well, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying the start of a psalm, of a song that is part of the Jewish culture. And so the Jewish audience would know that Jesus is not just saying the words he's feeling, although we're sure he is feeling it. But he's invoking them to look into what this psalm says. So that's what we're going to do now, is just quickly move into Psalm 22, because I believe Psalm 22 unlocks for us not only this question of suffering that we're grappling with, but also talks about God's response to that question. So let's just start reading Psalm 22. At the very beginning, it says this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. So Jesus is quoting the opening of Psalm 22. And again, if we're following through in our head, okay, he's quoting that, we start singing it through, we come to the idea immediately afterwards that God is still God. He's still holy, he's still to be trusted. And actually, what makes this psalm even more relevant is as we go through the psalm, we see that Jesus himself seems to appear. Glimpses of Jesus, as we see throughout the Old Testament, appears in this particular psalm. From verse 16, it says, "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Doesn't that sound familiar? A sufferer who has his hands and his feet pierced, who people gamble over his clothes while he suffers. See, this psalm's predicting Jesus nearly 1,000 years before Jesus comes onto the scene. So this psalm doesn't shy away from the suffering. If you read through it, there's a lot of stuff about what this character is going through. And Jesus points us to this psalm because we can see that Jesus himself, it relates to this sufferer. But I think he's also pointing us to this psalm because when you read to the end, you see that actually there is a response from God. So verse 26 of the psalm says, "The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever." And then the final two verses, "Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." So this psalm outlines all the pain and affliction, but ends with the afflicted characters being satisfied forever by God, and that future generations will be told that he has done it. God has done it. So this psalm does start with a question, but it ends with a response. It ends with an answer. Yes, we experience struggle and suffering, but one day all these wrongs will be made right, this psalm is saying. But not because of anything we do, but because he has done it. The words really echo those words of Jesus on the cross that I'm sure we'll come to in another talk. It is finished. He has done it. It is finished. We see the glimpse of Jesus here fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. So Jesus's question on the cross is not just an echo of all that we feel, but it leads to an answer. And the answer is Jesus himself. And we know, don't we, as Christians, that on the cross, Jesus took on our sin. The entire reason that we feel forsaken, we feel distant from God, is our sin. And Jesus on the cross is dealing with that. When he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't think he's just feeling the pain that he's feeling from being nailed to that cross, or the anguish of having friends betray him. But he's literally taking on the forsakenness that we deserve, so we don't have to be forsaken ourselves. Galatians put it really strikingly in Galatians 3 verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Does this sound like a God who's distant? one who had become a curse for us? Is that a God who's far away and doesn't care? See, Jesus' question on the cross is the one that echoes throughout human history. It shows us that God understands the questions that we ask. But also, Jesus on that cross shows us that God has an answer. God does care. He is with us. He sent his son into the world to die for you and for me. You see, the Bible's answer to the question of suffering is not a nice, neat, wordy, philosophical answer. It's a person dying on a cross in our place, so one day we will never be forsaken. So in conclusion, we all ask this same question. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, where are you? God, why won't you seem to answer? But please know that particularly if you're going through something like this now or have done so recently, there's nothing wrong with asking that question. Jesus himself models that it's okay to ask our questions of God. Whether it's because we've lost a loved one, whether it's a sudden sharp change in our life circumstances, perhaps we're going through that long, hard slog of looking for a job or the loneliness of lockdown. We know that we can believe in a God who has gone through it, who understands it, who echoes our cry. And yet, as Jesus comes alongside us in those darkest places, my prayer is that you would know that not only has Jesus asked the same questions, but that he is the answer. So let's pray to finish together. Father, please, Lord, be with those who are suffering, who have suffered recently or are suffering right now. We all understand, Lord, that what it feels like to feel distant from you, for our circumstances to be so extreme that we cry out asking where you are. Lord, thank you that Jesus shows us that this is not something to be ashamed of. And please, Lord, be with my brothers and sisters who are feeling this way. Help them to know your presence with them in their pain. And thank you, Lord, that you don't just acknowledge our questions, but you provided a response. That what Jesus accomplished on the cross is the ultimate answer to that question. And because of him, we know that, as it says in Revelation, that one day he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Thank you for that reality today, Lord. Amen.